Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 46 to finish at 23,424. S&P 500 up 5 at 2,580. NASDAQ Composite down 15 at 6,712. Russell 2000, small and mid-caps down 9 at 1,492. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note down 1 basis point at 2.36%. Oil down 4 cents at $54.34 per barrel. Gold up $3.90 at $12.75.30 an ounce. Dow and S&P closed near records, while the NASDAQ slipped from a record high close yesterday. The ISM Manufacturing Index fell to 58.7% in October, a month after hitting a 13-year high of 60.8%. 16 of the 18 industries tracked by ISM reported growth. After a flurry of activity in the wake of the hurricanes, we seem to be returning to more normal yet still very strong manufacturing growth. Construction spending rose in September, led by a surge in government spending. Spending ran at a seasonally adjusted annual $1.22 billion rate. Spending increased 0.3% during the month and stood 2% higher than a year ago. For the second month in a row, public works projects drove the spending increase. Public sector outlays were 2.6% higher than in August, while private sector spending was 0.4% lower. Compared to a year ago, however, the pace of total public construction spending is 1.6% lower, and overall private spending is 3.1% higher. The Federal Reserve wrapped up their FOMC meeting, left interest rates unchanged in November, but called the economy solid, which is Fed speak to say policymakers remain on track to raise the cost of borrowing next month. The central bank had previously projected it would raise its benchmark Fed funds rate, now between 1% to 1.25%, at its final meeting of the year, December 12th and 13th. In a statement, the Fed also acknowledged core inflation remained soft and is likely to remain so in the short run. The Fed offered a lengthy explanation of what happened to inflation after Hurricanes Harvey and Irma. Higher gas prices boosted overall inflation in September, and the after effects will continue to impact inflation, though for items other than food and energy, inflation remains soft. The Fed still expects inflation to reach its 2% target in the medium term. More muted language on inflation might be a clue. The Fed will proceed more cautiously early in 2018, but really no surprises from the Fed today. Fed Chairwoman Janet Yellen has said the strength of the economy justified more gradual rate hikes despite low inflation readings. The modest changes to the Fed statement shows that remains the majority view. More indications that Jerome Powell will be nominated to replace Janet Yellen when her term expires in February. The Wall Street Journal reports Powell is the choice. An announcement is expected tomorrow. Powell has never dissented from any decision since becoming a Federal Reserve governor in May 2012. He's agreed to lift interest rates 4 times in 5 years. Put another way, there is hope Powell will represent continuity at the Fed. Powell has made clear he's a proponent of the off-ramp the Fed has chosen as it's begun to reduce the size of its $4.5 trillion balance sheet. In a speech in June, Powell also imagined the Fed balance sheet probably would not get below $2.4 trillion, possibly not even $2.9 trillion. Stylistically, former Fed head Ben Bernanke called Powell a moderate. We were waiting for the rollout of the GOP tax plan, but it's been delayed. Maybe tomorrow. The problem is basic math, how to cut tax rates without eliminating popular tax breaks. The answer likely lies in smoke and mirrors. Even if the delay does not throw the Republican schedule off course, it signals potential difficulties ahead for a bill the Republicans are attempting to pass on a party-line basis. Over what appear most likely to be loud objections from some business groups and relentless criticism from Democrats. As Republicans rush to lock down support from their key members and key interest groups early on Tuesday, some new details of the bill began to trickle out. The draft bill is expected to cut the top corporate tax rate to 20% immediately and not phase it in over a period of years as had been rumored. The plan might give up on trying to cut the highest rate on the wealthiest earners, which would be above the 35% the Republicans identified as their top tax rate in the framework released in September. The idea is to keep that rate at 39.6% and then protest against the idea that they're cutting taxes for the wealthy, maybe a phased-in repeal of the estate tax over several years. Republican leaders also confirmed they would maintain a federal tax deduction for at least some state and local property taxes paid, while eliminating comparable deductions for income and sales taxes. Now, this is going to be a big problem. First, because it looks a lot like double taxation. Next, because states' rights. Next, because nobody wants to be taxed on their taxes to give a big tax break to corporations and rich guys. It's now clear that the original plan to fully eliminate the deduction for state and local taxes is not dead. The big problem for people who believe in math is that the tax plan doesn't work without those cuts. On taxes, everyone wants to go to heaven. No one wants to die. And then this morning, Trump tweeted that the tax plan should include a repeal of the individual mandate on Obamacare, which would turn a difficult math problem into a big hot mess. Nobody is quite sure what the tweets mean, if anything, but tying the tax plan to the already failed effort to repeal Obamacare, well, that just doesn't make sense. GOP leadership is scrambling to get a tax deal done on an extremely compressed schedule, not only because they want to have an accomplishment to tout, but also because the quicker they do it, the less chance there is that resistance will build. And right now, they seem genuinely spooked by the possibility that the public will conclude that their tax cut is little more than a gigantic giveaway to corporations and the wealthy. This is a well-grounded fear. It is, in fact, a gigantic giveaway to corporations and the wealthy. And polls show the public doesn't believe corporations and the wealthy desperately need relief from the oppressive burden of taxation. Morgan Stanley warned in a report this week that enacting aggressive tax cuts to businesses and individuals risk overheating the economy and causing stocks to boom, then bust. The concern is that slashing the corporate tax rate from 35% to 20% could backfire by forcing the Federal Reserve to accelerate interest rate hikes. That, in turn, would raise borrowing costs for consumers and businesses, potentially unnerving the stock market along the way. Morgan Stanley strategist wrote, "Adding stimulus to an already strong economy likely stirs the Fed, pulling forward the end of an aging cycle." Ironically, given all the excitement on Wall Street about tax cuts, Morgan Stanley argues that failure of tax reform would be the best outcome for extending the economic and market recovery from the Great Recession. So, what's a one-day delay in releasing details of the tax plan? Well, that means there are just 10 working days for Congress between tomorrow and the Thanksgiving holiday, and while many things can be done in 10 days, rewiring the economic engine might be overly ambitious. Facebook beat earnings and revenue projections. The company reported third-quarter net income of $4.7 billion, or $1.59 per share, compared to $2.6 billion, or 90 cents a share, in the year-ago period. Revenue rose to $10.3 billion from $7 billion in the year-ago period. Analysts surveyed had estimated $1.28 a share on revenue of $9.8 billion, so Solid beats top and bottom line. Daily active users, that's a metric closely watched by analysts and investors, up 16% to 1.37 billion compared with the year earlier period. For the fourth quarter, analysts model earnings of $1.70 a share on revenue of $12 billion. Company shares hit a record earlier in the day, initially rose in after-hours trading, but later fell into negative territory. They've gained about 60% this year. Meanwhile, lawmakers released a batch of Russian-bought Facebook ads that showcased politically charged content allegedly spread on social media by Moscow ahead of the 2016 U.S. election. Lawyers from Facebook, Twitter, and Google testified about Russian interference on their networks. After decades of relatively little regulatory scrutiny, the tech industry now on the defensive on a range of policy issues. Tesla reported third-quarter earnings, or more accurately, they reported their largest ever quarterly loss. Tesla also pushed back its target for volume production on its new Model 3 sedan by about 3 months, saying that while progress fixing bottlenecks was made, it was difficult to predict how long it would take for all production issues to be fixed. The biggest production issue deals with batteries. Tesla's long-term viability depends on the Model 3. That's the new sedan that starts at a price of around $35,000, about half the price of its flagship Model S. Tesla plans to produce 500,000 vehicles in 2018, mostly Model 3s. That would be a six-fold increase over 2016 levels, but the company made just 260 Model 3 sedans in the third quarter due to those bottlenecks. It had planned to build more than 1,500. Tesla posted a net loss of $619 million, or $3.70 per share, even as revenue rose 30% to $2.98 billion. Tesla shares down about 5% in after hours. In today's edition of Banks Behaving Badly. Earlier this month, Wells Fargo fired four foreign exchange bankers. No big deal, right? In its statement, Wells Fargo said the departure of these employees was not related to issues involving market collusion, front-running, or market manipulation. We're pretty sure you can see where this is going. Federal prosecutors are looking into possible front-running of trades. If it's not one thing, it's another. Dow Industrials up 46 at 23,424. S&P 500 up 5 at 2,580. NASDAQ Composite down 15 at 6,712. Follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio. And the daily blog, text, audio, and more at eatthebankers.com.